From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message called Godly Dedication, part of this series in the Book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Fishers Follow Him. The text is Mark 1, verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Only by coming after Jesus can we obtain our heart's desire and be really useful to our fellow men. Oh, how we long to be successful fishers for Jesus! We would sacrifice our lives to win souls. But we are tempted to try methods which Jesus would never have tried. Shall we yield to this suggestion of the enemy? If so, we may splash the water, but we shall never take the fish. We must follow after Jesus if we would succeed. Sensational methods, entertainments, and so forth, are these coming after Jesus? Can we imagine the Lord Jesus drawing a congregation by such means as are now commonly used? What is the result of such expedients? The result is nothing which Jesus will count up at the last great day. We must keep to our preaching as our Master did, for by this means souls are saved. We must preach our Lord's doctrine and proclaim a full and free gospel, for this is the net in which souls are taken. We must preach with His gentleness, boldness, and love, for this is the secret of success with human hearts. We must work under divine anointing, depending upon the sacred Spirit. Thus, coming after Jesus and not running before Him, nor aside from Him, we shall be fishers of men.
Church declare His name. Let every voice be raised, God's glory to proclaim. Upon the wings of praise, lift high the song of grace. Let joyful alleluias fill the sky. Let Christ be lifted up on high. Let every steeple
song be raised, the testament of life.
May our hearts be broken, may the doors fling open, may every word and deed proclaim the love of Christ.
Let Christ be lifted up,
let the church declare His name,
let every voice be raised, God's glory to proclaim.
Upon the
Lift high the song of praise,
let joyful alleluia.
church declare his name. Let every voice be raised, God's glory to proclaim. Upon the wings of praise, lift high the song of praise, let joyful alleluias fill the sky.
Let Christ be lifted up on high.
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Having fulfilled their promise to fight alongside the other tribes in the conquest of Canaan, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh were returning to their own lands on the east side of the Jordan. As they prepared to depart, Joshua encouraged them to remain faithful to the Lord. And from this narrative, Dr. Cairns has been seeking to provide a pattern for individual Christians as well as for the church at large. We've seen that the character of godly dedication is marked by a hearty obedience to the will of God. It involves fighting the Lord's battles, the worst of which is against self and anything that would hinder our walk with God. We've seen the importance of evangelism and of maintaining unity among the brethren on scriptural grounds. Dr. Cairns has emphasized the need for consistency of commitment in the cause of Christ. And as we'll see today, there is indeed a cost for such godly dedication. But the crown which awaits the faithful warrior is the Savior's own commendation, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now to conclude this message, godly dedication, here is Dr. Cairns.
Let me say a word about the cost of godly dedication. It comes out very clearly in this passage. Verse 4 would let us see that these people had left home and loved ones. They'd given up the best years of their lives. They'd forfeited the opportunity to pursue their own wealth. They'd subjected all self-interest to the cause of God. That's the ultimate cost of true dedication to God. The subjection of self-interest to the greater cause of Christ and to the glory of His name. That's the cost. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 14, 26 and 27, and then in verse 33, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." What does it mean to hate father, mother, wife, children? Look at these 2.5 tribes. That's what Jesus means. They didn't hate their family in the carnal or worldly sense of having some violent passion and aversion to them. No, that's not the hate that the Savior's talking about. But they had such a dedication to God. They had such an obedience to the revealed will of God. They had such a commitment to the cause of God that they put the Lord before home and father and mother and wife and children. That's what the Lord is talking about. "Whosoever," says Jesus, "doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." The cost of Christian discipleship, the cost of godly dedication. I don't know the will of God for you. I can't tell you in detail what the Lord will have you do. But I can tell you it may cost you everything to do it. At least it may appear so to do. God can take you and say, "I want you to leave home and loved ones." Every Christian has to be willing for that. And every young man here starting out in life, every young woman would be best to get this plainly in mind. I'm a Christian first and foremost, and all the way through I'm called to serve my God. He may send me to the uttermost parts of the earth. He may take me and send me where I'm far from home and loved ones. He may call me to give up what the world thinks are the best years of my life and the best opportunity for furthering the gospel, or for furthering my own life, for the furtherance of the gospel. I think I've told you before, a doctor from Northern Ireland who served with the ACRI Gospel Mission, which is a Northern Irish based mission working in Brazil. When the Brazilian consul in Liverpool looked at this man's qualifications, a brilliant surgeon, a young man with the medical world at his feet, and he saw that he wanted to go into what Brazilians call the Green Hell. That's their name for the forest regions of the Acre. He just shook his head and he said, "Why would a man like this bury himself in the Green Hell? Why? Because the Lord sent him there. And the churches, I think of the church especially in a little town called Tarawaka, the church are there, the lives that have been saved, the souls that have been saved, the families that have been saved, will stand for all eternity as an everlasting monument to the wisdom of obeying God. God may call you to do what the world says is costly. But I want to tell you, such sacrifice never does go unrewarded. For in verse 8, we have Joshua's reference to the crown of godly dedication. Return with very much riches unto your tents, with cattle and silver and gold and brass and iron and much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. These people not only were commended, Joshua didn't just simply pat them in the back and say, well now boys, you've done a good job. No, he did that, but he sent them home laden with the rich rewards of faithfulness. And let me tell you that it never really does cost ultimately to serve God. I get worried when I hear of people talking about the cost involved in doing the will of God, as if they're making some great sacrifice. There is a cost to step out by faith and do the will of God. And that's true of every Christian, not only those who go out into full-time service. The businessman who runs his business scrupulously by the honest standards of the Word of God may appear to lose because he's not making the quick money from the shady deals of his competitors, but he's not a loser. There's always a cost, but oh, the crown is so much greater. In Matthew 19 verse 27, Peter said unto the Lord Jesus, behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now tell me, would that be a good exchange for a little Galilean boat and a fisherman's net? Would you say that was a good rate of exchange? I think so. And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Does it cost to serve Christ? Yes. In one sense it does, but in the ultimate sense it pays. When Paul gave up everything and counted all but loss, was that a cost? Sure it was. But look at the other side of the ledger, that I might gain Christ, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Was that a gain? Who can calculate the gain? Who can tell you the joy of what it is to know Christ, to have fellowship with Christ, to be used of God? I think of Bill Woods. I can use Bill as an example because so many of you know him. When I think of that young man in Belfast, called of God to go out to a foreign land, again to the Acre, to be a preacher of Jesus Christ, And then when he's there, not only to learn the language, but in that language to go to medical school, become a doctor and then an ophthalmic surgeon, to do special training here in the United States, to try not only to preach the gospel to, but reverse the physical curse of the tens of thousands of leprosy sufferers in that part of Brazil. Now think of it. A man with Bill Woods's medical skills could make an awful lot of money. He could build himself a mansion. He could go any place and do anything he wanted. Does it cost to give those things up and to live in a little house? The best furniture you can buy really made of pressed cardboard? To have to laugh when you come home and find a roof has let in gallons of water and your furniture's not only floating but disintegrating? Does it cost? Sure it does. But what would all the money be? What would the cars and the houses and the lands and the acclaim be compared to looking again at churches established, souls saved, leprosy patients healed, and an entire area where a few years ago there was no hope, now officially clear of that disease? Is that a crime? When you think of all those little homes throughout the Acre region where Bill Woods can go and be looked upon as a servant of Christ and more precious than a president or an emperor or a king or a queen, can you not hear the words of the Savior? I will give you 100-fold houses and lands and fathers and mothers and wives and children. I'll give you it all 100 times over. And then the great reckoning itself with the greater Joshua. And what a day that will be, when not only the great missionaries of this world, but every dedicated Christian will hear the greater Joshua give his commendation: "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord." The old hymn puts it perfectly well. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will be worth it all when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. Then let us run the race till we see him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it upon our hearts. Lord, we pray, give us the reality of godly dedication. O God, we pray that thou wilt not let one soul leave this place a stranger to grace and to God. And we pray that thou wilt not let one saint leave this place without honestly and full-heartedly giving up his life to the service of Christ in the home, in the factory, or on the mission field, as thou wilt direct. Lord, thy will be done. We yield ourselves to do thy holy will. We ask in Jesus' precious name, for his sake and glory. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.